Morning, Senator Daley.
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Senator Mattson.
Morning.
How are you?
So far, so good today.
I like what we hear today. We're only going to hear half of what we thought we would hear, though. Good morning, members. Call to order the Senate Jobs and Economic Growth Committee. And we have a weather casualty. We were initially going to hear from a Dr. Crow, who was going to give us a little schooling in economics, and particularly in the housing foreclosure, kind of a macroeconomic discussion. He was flying in, and I'm told he has not made it past Chicago. So the great news is we have Senator Howe for the next hour and a half.
Oh, no.
Live from Red Wing.
Well, I don't think we're going to need an hour and a half, but so we will not be hearing. But I think it's in your packets, actually. Is that
right?
It
is. Yep.
So you do have what was going to be our presentation and a PowerPoint. So we will double back with Dr. Crow and see if there's any kind of future discussion we can have with him. But with that, we have Senate File 283 in front of the committee, carried by Senator Howe. And I thought we'd start by having Senate counsel just walk through kind of at a summary level this bill, and then we'll hear from the author and some witnesses.
Okay, Mr.
Fontaine.
Mr. Chair and members, I do have a little laryngitis, but I'll try to
stay close to the microphone.
Stay close to the microphone.
I don't know what else you can do.
Okay. Senate File 283. I can give a little quick background on this. This bill, in the same form, has been around since about 2008. And a version was carried by Senator Bach, and you were also a co-author, Senator. There were also three versions of this bill in various forms in 2009. And then in 2010, there were also this language was carried in two bills, including the part of Senator Mattson's jobs bill was part of that, and then ultimately language was taken out. So this has been around for a few years. Mostly the differences are in the amount of aggregate credits allowed. I think it started out at about $80 million. The bill we're looking at today is $200 million in aggregate credits. Anyway, I'll just walk through section by section really quickly. The first section is mostly definitions. It's defining what a Minnesota business investment company is, what kind of business qualifies. You'll see it can't have more than 100 employees. Business has to be located in Minnesota, and it has some particular types of businesses that cannot qualify as a qualified business, cannot be a franchise. Also, it goes through a few more definitions of what a qualified investment is. Then it also, in Section 1, it talks about certification for the Department of Employment and Economic Development would do the certification process. They would be running this program, and they would have a format for businesses applying for the Minnesota Business Investment Company certification. It requires a $7,500 application fee, and then it requires equity capitalization of $500,000 or more. And then it just kind of goes on to talk about what the department needs to do, how long they have to review the certification, and when they should start accepting applications. Then it's subdivision 4 on page 5 talks about the aggregate limitations on investment tax credits. And this is the portion of the bill that talks about the aggregate amount of tax credits would be $200 million. And this is the piece that's changed a little bit over time since the first introduction of the bill. Let's see. In subdivision 5 on page 7, it talks about requirements for continuation of certification and what types of investments and time frames that the businesses have to make the investments to continue certification in the program. Then on page 8, subdivision 6, it talks about some reporting requirements that the Minnesota Business Investment Companies would have to do, talking about just the time frames and what information needs to be included. Then also talks about on page 9 the distributions, how a business investment company can make a qualified distribution at any time. Also on page 9 there it provides for decertification of a Minnesota business investment company if on annual review if under certain circumstances they'd be decertified from the program. Also in this bill, I think it the first time it was introduced, I'm not sure it had this exemption from rulemaking, but this exempts the Department of Economic Development, Employment and Economic Development, from doing rulemaking under this program. And then on subdivision 11, on page 10, there also requires some reports to the governor and legislature for the program regarding number of jobs created, total amount of investment tax credits, location of the companies that have been certified or decertified by under the program. And then finally, in section 2 on page 11, it goes into the Minnesota Business Investment Company credit. And this is, it allows a credit up to 80% of the participating investor's investment. And you can be up to equal to 20% of the credit against the insurance premium tax for years 2015 to 2018. And it also, in paragraph B, talks about that the credit for the tax, it can't exceed, they can't get any sort of refund or they can't exceed the liability for the tax. But it does allow for a carryover under that circumstance if it's more than it exceeds the tax liability. Let's see what else. Oh, and also in subdivision 2 on page 12, it allows for a transfer of this credit. So a participating business investment could transfer this the credit to another person who's subject also to the premium tax. And finally, there is an appropriation section, and $75,000 is appropriated from the general fund to Department of Employment and Economic Development to pay for costs of the program. And then it looks like it does try to include some money in the base for the carry forward years 2013 and 2014 of $50,000 in each year. And I think that's the bill. If you have any other questions, there is a summary included. I'm not a tax expert, so I kind of went from the summary myself. So,
thank you. And that may have teased out a few thoughts and questions from members, but I think maybe it'd be best we get into the actual presentation of the bill by the author.
A quick question. I'm looking in here and I can't really see it. Is there a requirement that they have to invest in Minnesota businesses?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. that is part of the requirements. It talks about that the business has to be located. It's on page 2.
Mm-hmm. Is that? Oh, I
line 2.18, it talks about qualified business and has to be headquartered in Minnesota.
80%.
80% of employees are here.
Mr. Chair, I meant the investments that they make. And not the company itself. Are they required to, if they get this tax advantage or change, are they required to invest in Minnesota businesses or not?
Mr. Chair, members, I believe that the qualified investment is in a qualified business. So I believe that, as I understand the bill, that the qualified investment is in a qualified business. So the investment does have to be in a Minnesota company.
That's what Senator Kielash. So check page 2 of the bill, and then I'll also ask the author and presenters to have your kind of general concept and your questions in mind as they roll out this bill. So with that, Senator Howe, welcome to the committee.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
And we'll let you take this as you'd like, if you want to make some opening comments, and then
sure.
Make sure you introduce the folks who are with you, and We'll also have some time to take testimony from anyone else in the room who'd like to. So, Senator Howe.
Chairman Michelle and senators, thank you. It's a privilege to be here to talk about the Small Business Investment Act. As you know, we're all elected to do something to try and create an environment where we can increase jobs in our state of Minnesota. And what this bill will allow is for up to $200 million of investment into small businesses that are based in Minnesota. And as was outlined earlier, it's businesses with fewer than 100 employees. We are in an environment where investment and capital to create small business is a very trying time. And this would allow for those investments, and with some future tax incentives for those investments, it would not affect our next biennium that we're facing. The tax credits would start in 2015 and go for a period of 4 years. So it would be $160 million in incentives or tax deferments. There's just a negligible cost to our budget in our current fiscal, with $75,000 being allotted to DEED to set up and certify companies and certify investments. We're hoping to get maybe 6 to 12 funds certified for these investments, and then there would be a small cost going forward of about $50,000 a year. And with that, I'd like to introduce Paul Cassidy from Leonard Street to discuss the program a little bit further.
Mr. Cassidy, welcome to the committee, and please state your name and who you're working for on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Cassidy. I'm with the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard. I'm here today in support of Senate File 283, and here on behalf of our clients, Enhanced Capital Partners and Advantage Capital. There's two firms that have been working on this economic development proposal throughout the country for the past 12 years. As Senator Howe alluded to, this proposal addresses this committee's primary focus, which is innovative job creation resulting in an increased tax base. That's what we're all hopeful for. And to accomplish this, we need to provide incentives to unlock capital. That's one of the biggest hurdles that we face today in climbing out of this recession, is unlocking capital and incentivizing folks to borrow to businesses. The economic development tool under consideration today has a proven track record in many other states, including New York, Texas, Missouri, and Wisconsin. Recently, Wisconsin Governor Walker has also proposed to reauthorize this program in the state of Wisconsin to the tune of $200 million. This is also an economic development tool that comes at a time when our economic conditions have caused credit markets to tighten capital, and which is scarce for many Minnesota small businesses wishing to expand and take the next step in its expansion phase. That next big step can oftentimes be difficult financially because many of these businesses are no longer bankable. They may present a great opportunity for investment, but they also may not meet the pro forma or financial model of their local banker. With nowhere to turn, these small businesses have few options but the following: to look to other venues such as the East and West Coasts for additional capital, look to other states for financial assistance, forego expansion altogether and miss the opportunity to grow jobs and grow revenues, or just go out of business altogether. This proposal is fairly straightforward, if not simple, and addresses real need in our marketplace. The Minnesota Small Business Investment Act will channel $200 million to growing Minnesota small businesses so that they can expand their operations and grow jobs in our state. To accomplish this, the Small Business Act would have the Department of Economic Development license and regulate investment managers, such as our client Investment Capital, along with venture capital firms that are located locally in Minnesota, to go out and pool the resources of insurance companies into a $200 million investment pool. These investment managers would then invest those funds in local growing Minnesota businesses, such as who may be having a difficult time finding funding. The investment managers would be required by this proposal to target investments to small to medium-sized businesses with less than 100 employees with operations based exclusively in Minnesota. In exchange for the insurer providing the initial capital for this investment fund, the insurer would receive a tax credit against their premium tax obligation in the state of Minnesota, but only after meeting certain funding and certain other criteria and thresholds that have been met, including investment of the resources in targeted Minnesota businesses. The tax credits do not begin to kick in until 4 years from now, in the year 2015. Assuming all the requirements of the legislation have been met, the tax credits would then be paid out over 4 years in equal 20% installments. The tax credits may be forfeited if investment managers do not invest the funds in qualified investments in a timely manner. Investment managers are not allowed to take any profits until 100% of the investment funds have been invested in target qualified Minnesota small businesses. The state of Minnesota will also benefit by this proposal, besides from the increase in tax revenue, by participating in any profits generated by these investments. This program has a proven track record that succeeded in other states and has been improved upon over the last 13 or 14 years. The legislation before you represents years of understanding what works and what does not work in building a successful economic development and capital investment program targeted at these small businesses. Texas has just reauthorized $200 million in tax credits after successfully investing $200 million in certified capital in 2004. Texas is already considering another round of $200 million in investment capital. The states of Connecticut and Tennessee recently passed this proposal as well. New York has now reauthorized the program 5 times. This program now exists in 14 jurisdictions and has been reauthorized 28 times. As I said earlier,
Mr. Cassidy, just
yes.
While I'm thinking of it, so we're the idea here is to kind of lay a foundation in law and then kick in some tax credit incentive 2 and multiple years out. Is it your hope and is it the experience in other states that you kind of need to lay this foundation first before you have these tax credits kick in? Is that why we push it out multiple years? Other than our fiscal climate, which I understand.
Mr. Chairman, members,
Mr. Cassidy.
That is correct. Basically, the intent of the program is to get the money in the pipeline as quickly as possible to capital to businesses. And while that money is in the pipeline, put it to work and obviously grow jobs, increase the tax base. And by the time the tax credits kick in year 4 or year 5, the revenues are there to actually offset those tax credits.
Mr. Chairman.
To that point, Mr. Cassidy,
I thought I heard you say something about insurance companies pooling money together to get the $200 million. So they're going to come up with the $200 million, offer it to businesses, and then the businesses that participate will then get the tax credit 4 or 5 years out. Is that what I'm understanding?
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, you're half right.
First
and foremost, investment managers that are certified by the Department of Economic Development go to insurance companies that they've been doing this with for years, having insurance companies participate in this program, and request of them to make investments into an investment pool. So let's just say five different companies get certified in the state of Minnesota to be investment managers. These are professional investors. They go to insurance companies. They ask them to invest in their fund. So you have 5 different funds of, let's say, $25 million apiece. They take that money, then the investment managers that the insurers have put into the pool, and they go out on the street and find those businesses that need investment capital.
And then those are the businesses that get the tax credit?
No, the tax credit, Mr. Chairman, Senator,
Mr. Cassidy.
The tax credit would inure back to the insurance company. It would be an offset against their premium tax obligation that they already have in the state.
And, Mr. Chairman,
Senator
Mr. Cassidy,
Thompson, you're half wrong as well as half right.
Yeah. So.
Senator Thompsoni.
And so then in other states have you that have done this, and I'm just thinking about one legislature being able to bind another legislature. In other states that have done this, have you gone 4 or 5 years out like this, and has it caused any kind of a – has the law changed at all in the meantime, where the legislature maybe changed the tax credit so it wasn't available when 2014 came around?
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, each state has been unique. Some states have had 100% tax credit that has kicked in immediately. There are other states, and Senator Howell is showing me right now, other states that have had 2, 3, 4, and 5 year delays. So it's really been all over the map. In answer to the second part of your question, none of these programs ever have been overturned or a future legislature has taken back the tax credit, so to speak. I think that speaks to the track record of the program as well. Have there been attempts? Yes, there have. I mean, there's competing economic development interests, obviously, and there have been attempts.
Okay, and
Mr. Thompson,
final question I have is there a maximum that a company can qualify for when I mean, can one business actually qualify for one insurance company qualify for the whole $200 million, or how does it work exactly?
Mr. Cassidy.
It all depends who's in the pool. Is that what it amounts to?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, two answers here. Number one, an insurer can only participate to the extent that they have a tax obligation in the state of Minnesota. So if they had a $20 million tax obligation in the state of Minnesota, that'd probably be the most, that would be the most that they could do. And I don't think a regulator would look kindly on that. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the businesses that you can invest in, no pool can invest more than 15% of their entire pool in one business. So you can't have – you can't
that's in the bill.
Go for a home run with – yes, it's in the bill as well.
Okay.
And you have to certify to that each year when you report to the commissioner.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, if you look at this handout here, I think all of you have the handout. It shows, that there's 32 programs. I think it's there's more now that it's passed in 12 states. But if you look across, are you going to speak on this?
Go ahead. Yeah.
It'll show you the dollars, the tax credits that's been allocated across the top. The year usage by year, the tax credit, the tax credit delay, and what we're doing is pushing this out past the next biennium, so it wouldn't start until 2015. And then it also shows the jobs created or retained, and then the follow-on capital that's available. So just gives you an indication of what other states are doing. And I think that we need to be involved to help our small business community and to provide capital.
Now, Mr. Cassidy, I interrupted your presentation, and I have another member with a question. Do you want to finish up, or are you comfortable getting right into some questions?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're good.
Okay. Senator DeCryf.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Cassidy, if Minnesota implements this, and if we had a young company or an established company that we assisted with this, could they come back in a couple of years if they grow and are successful and reapply for another loan in this way or not?
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's a very good question. First of all, there's a life of this program. I mean, the program ends when the tax credits are exhausted. So that's number one. Until it's been reauthorized, there wouldn't be any additional capital. There have been instances where there has been a second round of capital put into company, but what you have to remember is that looking at the life stages of companies from their infancy to maybe they get a round of angel investor tax credit of or taxes or investment of $100,000 or so, this fits a niche right after that where they're hopefully going into a growth phase from $300,000 to $3 million in investments. That's a very small venture capital investment traditionally. In Minnesota, when we look at the Star Tribune business section on Monday mornings, we'll see $20, $30, $40 million venture capital investments. Those are what you traditionally see. Hopefully these companies will come out of this program and into that next phase where they're getting the big venture capital bucks. But in answer to your question, yes, there have been instances, although isolated, where companies have gone through a second round of capital infusion.
Okay. Again, Mr. Cassidy, anything more that you want to walk through the bill with? Otherwise, we can go back to the author and at least one more witness here.
Mr. Chairman, the only thing I'd like to add in closing in my remarks is that a number of organizations around the state have endorsed this and have it in their legislative program. 2 years ago, Governor Plenty's 21st Century Tax Commission included this in their recommendations. The Minnesota Chamber, who is here today, obviously have endorsed it, as well as the partnership, the Life Science Alley, NFIB, the Minnesota High Tech Association. And all these organizations have come to us because, obviously, they have a lot of members that are out looking for capital that they can't find right now. Thank you.
Mr. Hesse, are you here to talk about this bill?
I am, Mr. Chair. Thank you. For the record, my name is Tom Hesse. I'm with the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce.
Mr. Hesse.
And maybe the only thing I can add is just a perspective from the Chamber's Grow Minnesota program, which was lucky enough to receive a $5.5 million grant from the Pollad Family Foundation a couple of years ago. And So we went out and tried to find businesses that needed capital and to make it through the recession. And we got $75 million of proposals for our $5.5 million of funds. So it does demonstrate that there's a need for some additional capital, small business capital in the state. And this program and this legislation really fits the bill. So we strongly support Senate File 283. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the committee for either Mr. Hesse or Mr. Cassidy at this point? Senator Howe, do you have some more remarks or
Well, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate File.
But before you do that, and I do think that's a good thing to do, but let me just ask if there's anyone else in the hearing room this morning that would like to testify on Senate File 283. Please, Mr. Hickey, welcome to the committee.
Well, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Made it just in time. Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. I'm trying to manage my conflicts in the building today. Just wanted to weigh in and give our support of this also. You know, we passed a fairly narrow angel credit last session. It needed to be done, but it's very targeted. It's very narrow. And I think this proposal definitely is going to reach out to more small businesses, certainly more of the NFIB membership, more of the mainstream Main Street businesses, and I think it could be a big help. It's the fiscal liability of it is put off a few years. That helps in these trying times, but I do think it's going to reach out and impact more businesses and not be as narrow as what we did, and we urge you to give it a try.
I had Senator Peterson with a question or a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for being late today and having to step out. So the question I had may have been answered, and I missed it. But I was curious, a couple notes, if this were to move forward and to pass, how soon would you start taking applications, or how long does it take to build the fund? So really, I guess, from somebody that tries to represent their constituents and provide information that's beneficial, when would the folks be able to start applying for this if it were to move forward?
Mr. Cassidy, you want to take that?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, Senator, anecdotally, I know just recently the state of Connecticut passed their version of this, and they basically passed a version that was based on Minnesota's proposal last year. They were up and running by the end of the summer and had over $37 million in applications already in the pipeline as of January 1st. So it happens very quickly. The investment managers that are hired and certified to be on the ground, these are people that know what they're doing. They know how to go out and find those businesses that are in desperate need of capital. So they know where to go. It's not a fishing expedition. In Minnesota, we have, I think, the benefit of having two very strong statewide business organizations, just NFIB and the Chamber, that they know of members. Mr. Hesse and I have had discussions about their travels around the state where people, you know, when you ask them what's their greatest need, they openly say, we're looking for money. We're looking for capital right now, so the pipeline's there.
Senator Peterson.
So would you describe that in the words of our chair as operating at the speed of commerce?
Mr. Cassidy, I think that was a quote from Commissioner Austin, but okay. I'm happy that you're attributing it to me, Senator Peterson.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
I had Senator Daley next, Senator Thompson. You're on deck.
This was to that point.
Are you just going to make fun of me? Okay, go ahead.
No, I'm not making fun of you. I'm just going to
let Senator Thomasoni.
I'm going to let Senator Peterson know that there's an effective date here following the final enactment, so it would be effective immediately upon the governor's signature, I think. Is that correct?
And Senator Thomasoni is back, and he's reading the bills. And
don't get used to it.
Senator Peterson.
But, yeah, just to follow up, so you're saying within 90 days of enactment you would be taking applications? And
could be.
You said the end of the summer, so.
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I would certainly hope so, and I guess that would also be subject to how fast the department would be putting the program together in terms of a registration form and a registration process, but we've had those discussions over the last couple of years, and I think it would happen very quickly.
Okay, thank you.
Our guys will be ready to go, believe me.
Senator Daley.
Mr. Chair, thank you. We know how important capital is. We know how mobile capital is.
To the degree, to the extent that it's instructive to this conversation, Ms. Fontaine had mentioned that in 2008, 2009, 2010, we tried to do this. Again, to the extent that it's applicable here, why did it not pass? What were the issues or the concerns that were expressed at that time, and how do we overcome those this time if those are still on the table? It seems like a very worthy, worthwhile thing to do. I'm just curious why it didn't go through in the past.
And thank you, Senator Daley, and I'm not sure. There's probably a number of different perspectives on that. I will certainly give credit to Senator Metzen. This conversation has gone on, and he's been a backer of this concept over the years, and pieces of it have passed.
Sure.
But I know Mr. Cassidy has been on this issue for a couple years. I don't know if you have some perspective to it, but yeah. Senator Metzen, did you want to add something on the kind of the history of this and why it's timely now?
I thought we, Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Cassidy can help, but we passed this versions of this last session, right? Two-thirds of it or so? And
correct.
Where did it get stalled? I can't remember.
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator.
It's a good idea. I strongly supported this for two or three years and co-authored the bill for a while and chaired the committee at the time. So,
Mr. Cassidy.
There have been two things that have been traveling on parallel tracks for the last 3 years, and that's the Angel Investment Tax Credit in this program. Last year, to Senator Metz's credit, the jobs bill passed, and this was part of that proposal, but it was taken out in the end because just affordability issues. I mean, there's obviously last year, I believe, to put it mildly, there's a philosophical divide over tax credits in general, and hopefully that has dissipated this year. We'll see, but that really was basically what happened. This program has been in the governor's, in Governor Plenty's proposal the last 2 years, and also been in the Senate's budget proposal the last 2 years as well. So if that gives you some context.
And I think it's probably also fair to say that there was a greater appetite in the last year or two on the angel investor issue. That one was really rising to the top,
right?
As opposed to this one.
And Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Hickey, that was a foot in the door, and that was a good start. So you kind of downplayed that, I thought, when you were speaking about the angel investment part of it. So that's important. That's got us started. And now let's get to the finish line with this one.
Yeah. I have Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a co-author, of course, I think this is a great bill. I think it does what we need to do, which is get the incentive out there for investment to get to small businesses. And because I think it will be so successful and there will be so many who are interested in this, I just would like to draw your attention to page 5, like lines 30 through 35. I'm just wondering about the maybe the transparency to make sure that how are the different investors going to hear about this? Because it's, you know, it's capped at $200 million, and then it's allocated by kind of like first received application. So it's going to be important for those who are interested to know about this and get their applications in, because I suspect that we'll reach the cap and there'll be additional applicants who will have applied too late. And so I'm just kind of wondering, what's the process for making sure that the right players know about this, well, so everyone knows about this, so they can invest and get their application in a timely manner?
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Nelson. This section in particular addresses the insurance end of this in terms of the aggregate amount of the tax credits. And I would like to make one correction, and maybe someone would like to move this. The $200 million is actually $160. We're attempting to raise $200 million in capital. The cost of the tax credits are actually 80% of that. This is an 80% tax credit, so it's $160 is the aggregate amount of the tax credits. So this speaks to the amount of the tax credits that would be available to insurers. Now, depending on how successful investment managers are that are certified by the Department of Economic Development are in going out and raising that money from, and by the way, companies such as Securian and Travelers and formerly St. Paul have been and continue to be investors in this program. Those would be the targets, and it would be applicable to that section there. And so you're not making, as a business, you're not making an application to the Department of Economic Development. This program kind of blows up the old economic development programs. It has investment professionals that actually handle these matters. They go out and look for those businesses in need of capital. It's not an application process where, you know, we have winners and losers. It's truly a vetting process by investment professionals that are looking for good investments in companies that need the capital and that can grow. Their incentive is to make these companies successful, hopefully make them very, very profitable, and so that this program continues on, gets reauthorized, and these companies continue to generate more and more tax revenue.
And Mr. Cassidy, I'm sorry, Senator Nelson, did you want to follow up?
Just to follow up, and then I'll make the amendment to change the language.
And I want to have Ms. Fontaine make sure we've captured
that. Well, I guess my question is a follow-up. Maybe I didn't explain it very clearly.
I'm sorry.
Will there be a limit to those insurance companies that want to be investors? And how are we going to make sure that they all know about that in a timely fashion?
Mr. Cassidy.
Three things I can tell you. Number one, insurers are conservative by nature. And number two, regulators don't allow them to invest their reserves in all of their reserves in risky businesses. They allow them to invest a small portion of their reserves in instruments like this. So those are the two big reasons. And the third is that an insurer can only invest as much as their tax obligation in the state of Minnesota. So I think I used the example of $20 million earlier. If your tax obligation last year was $20 million in premium taxes, the most you could ever invest in Minnesota would be up to that, which I doubt anyone would.
Okay. Thank you.
And so let me ask Ms. Fontaine to see if we've caught the numerical change, which we can do as an oral amendment here. But Ms. Fontaine.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, as I understand it, the amendment would be on lines 5.31 and 5.32 and changing $200 million to $160 million in both spots.
Correct.
Okay, so Senator Nelson offers that as an oral amendment, changing lines 5.31 and 5.32 from $200 million to $160 million. Everyone understand the amendment? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Amendment is adopted. Senator DeCryf. Oh.
Thank you, Chairman. And Mr. Cassidy, just have a question, and you may have partially answered this in your last answer, but if a business was interested in a loan like this, who specifically, where would they get the paperwork to apply, and is there somebody to help them put a plan together? How would that actually work?
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, a couple avenues to that. Number one, I hope that this program is promoted not only by the state but also by the proponents of the legislation, our clients. That's number one. And number two, it is the business of these business investment managers to go find these businesses and start managing them. I mean, they will be part of their management team. They will take an interest in that business as an investor, either through a debt instrument or through taking an equity interest in the firm. So they will become part of putting together their next step business plan in the evolution of that business. So it's not simply sending someone to the Secretary of State's office for paperwork on how to start a new business. I mean, this is truly hands-on, on-the-ground, helping manage businesses and helping manage businesses grow.
Okay.
Is that helpful? Thank you.
And so Senator Howe and Mr. Cassidy, I want to give a heads up to Mr. Jensen at the end of the table here too. So I'd initially thought that we could take this straight to taxes, but there is a small appropriation for the deed. I don't know if it's a staffing. Maybe I don't know if Senator Howe or Mr. Cassidy can give us a little more background on why we need to appropriate money immediately to deed. What is that a person? Is that kind of helping with the paperwork? Because if that's true, and that's fine, but we're probably going to end up having to go through finance as well as taxes.
Would
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, Deed would have to certify the funds and certify the companies. So Mr. Cassidy can talk a little bit more about it.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, the initial work of Deed obviously will have to be the certification of the business investment managers. So that is my understanding of their need for an appropriation, because they will have to ramp this up and ramp it up very quickly, probably in the first 90 days. From there, I think they're on cruise control, and they basically collect our year-end information and summarize that for the legislature, as well as our clients reporting to the legislature.
So, Mr. Jensen, anything else that you'd add for that appropriation language on page 13?
Mr. Chairman, that would be okay. I also talked to the Revenue Department, which plays a role in this, and they thought that they wouldn't need any money in the coming biennium because the tax credit isn't claimed until 2015, and they thought maybe they would need $30,000 in 2014 for computer work and then $6,000 a year after that for maintaining the forms computer.
So Mr. Jensen, you're talking about a potential future fiscal note, which you are summarizing orally right now on behalf of revenue.
Mr. Chairman, members, yesterday was a holiday for state employees, so they weren't.
Not everybody, Mr. Jensen. Senator Metzen.
State employees.
Senator Metzen at this point, or any point.
Well, every time, Mr. Chairman and members, we add a little assignment to a commission or somebody, we have to add money. And I've been saying for quite a few years, take this money out and just tell them to do it. And what's the budget indeed? I don't know what it is. Can they find 30 grand or 40? I mean, do we have to always fund every person everything we do? Can't we just say do it? Maybe that's doesn't make sense, but what is their budget? Why can't they find a half a person or a full-time person? It would be probably a half-time to begin with. I don't know. I've been kind of consistent on this over the years, where every time we do a little something, we have to add 80 grand or 60 grand or 110.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. End it by servant.
I share your frustration.
Just take the money out here and just leave the rest of it there and have them do it, Mr. Chairman. But
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, just to speak to that point, there is an application fee, and so the department would be getting money from that. I'll let Mr. Cassidy speak to that a little bit.
Mr. Cassidy.
Mr. Chairman, Senators, it's my understanding that the $7,500 application fee pays for the cost that Deed thinks that they need to cover. After that, there's an ongoing $5,000 fee for maintaining your certification. So if you're looking for, I guess, what I characterize as revenue neutral, that might be it. But I obviously don't have a vote here.
Senator Craig.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to mention that I look for opportunities to agree with Senator Metzen, and I agree with him wholeheartedly on this.
You don't have to look that hard.
I think you're going to have lots of opportunities to agree.
Yeah, you'll look,
we will. Is there anyone from Deed here who might want to step up to the mic on this one? Thank
Tell
you.
Us why you don't do
There's your seat.
And please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair and Senators. I'm Jeff Nelson. I work for the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, and my current role is administering the Angel Tax Credit Program.
Great.
But I've been working with Mr. Cassidy and others on this legislation for a number of years.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I just was sort of scanning through the bill, and I know you're talking about fees and costs of administering the program. In the Angel bill, I know that the language of that bill specifically denotes that the fees that we raise for that program go directly to the department to pay for administering the program. Just my very quick scanning of this legislation, I see that it does charge fees, but it doesn't say it goes directly to deed. So therefore, that money, I would imagine, would go to the general fund, and therefore it would be appropriate to make an appropriation from the general fund to the department to reimburse it for the cost of administering the program.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, would it be appropriate to designate that fee in this bill to go to deed?
I think we'd be open to it. We're going to need some help on the drafting of the language and how to make sure we're doing it clearly. Does Council have some immediate thoughts on this?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, let me give me a minute to look at it real quick.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, I'm thinking that that might give some ownership a better ownership of it to try and increase those applications.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Nelson.
Council may want to consider looking at the Angel Tax Bill. I mean, the language there specifically designates that money for the department, so it might be something that could be replicated in this bill.
Torres-Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. While you work on this, I would like to ask the author, Senator Howe. I have been trying, Senator, to convene a series of meetings with people who are having discussions of these ideas, and I'm pleased to see these moving forward right now. They are having these conversations with minority-owned businesses and really very, very small businesses, and trying to figure out kind of how the legislation that we move forward to improve economic growth and increase participation apply to these particular sectors that are kind of more smaller than what we really contemplate here. And I'm wondering, Senator Howe, if you would be open to having a brief conversation with some of the people who are doing some of this work to see how they could be part of this effort in the immediate term and in the more long term. I don't know, Mr. Cassidy, if you've been working with people like MEDA and the Neighborhood Development Center and others who, as you know, support this very strongly. But I feel like in terms of policy, they have not been involved, in, mainly because they don't have lobbyists, they don't have people who are here tracking the legislation and trying to figure out how can they be more active participants and offer ideas on how this could apply to small businesses.
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senator Torres-Ray, absolutely. I would be open to speaking with them, and I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think we have time for a Senator Metzen joke.
We don't have nearly enough time.
I got a short one.
Ms. Fontaine and Mr. Jensen have done a quick huddle. How are we doing?
Mr. Chair, members, Mr. Jensen pointed out a good spot. We could do something quickly here. On page 5, on line 5.2, and Mr. Jensen tells me that the language, it says, starting on 5.1, application fees collected by the commissioner under the subdivision must be deposited in the state treasury, and that's required language. It has to go there in the first place. And then I would strike credited to the general fund and insert appropriated to the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development. So it would say deposited in the state treasury and appropriated to commissioner of deed.
So in addition to that money, they want more money to run it.
And we would also at the same time be able to strike section 3 on page 13. Is that right then? So we would, as per the Metzen concept.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would strike section 3 on page that we...
Forever heretofore known as the Metzen-DeKreif rule.
And we agree.
So maybe I should have you just repeat that one more time, Ms. Fontaine, then what the suggested changes we're talking about.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members, on line 5.2, strike credited to the general fund and insert appropriated to the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development.
For the purposes of this act.
And Mr. Jensen is whispering in my ear.
Yeah, no, I heard the whisper, so you repeat it again for the record,
okay.
Ms. Fontaine.
Strike credit to the general fund and insert appropriated to the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the purposes of this act.
Okay, so those are the changes on page 5. And then we would also...
And then we would also strike section 3 on page 13. Strike lines, you know, strike section 3, page 13.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. There's also similar language...
Mr. Nelson.
At line 9.6 through 9.8.
Ms. Fontaine.
I could, Mr. Chair, members, I guess application fees, these are the annual recertification fees. I don't know if that's contemplated in application fees, but I could say application fees and annual certification fees must be credited or, you know, should be deposited in state treasury and appropriated. So I can say application fees and recertification fees.
So you're back on page 5 then.
Yes. On page on line 5.1, application fees and insert recertification fees before collected.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Howe.
Mr. Chair and Senators, you could leave that and just at 9.8 put and appropriated to the Department of Employment and Economic Development. Just on 9.8, line strike, credited to the general fund, exactly what you did with the original language.
So Ms. Fontaine, the thought there is to use the same language you used at the top of page 5
yes,
on 9.8.
Mr. Chair, I didn't read on to the next sentence, so I would also strike credited to the general fund and insert appropriated to the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the purposes of this act.
Thank you, Ms. Fontaine. Mr. Nelson, does that catch the language that you saw?
Yes, I think that catches the revenue stream to help pay for administering the program.
And so now, Mr. Nelson, you're an enthusiastic supporter of the bill?
I've been a supporter for many years, yes.
Oh, great. So we have changes on page 5, we have changes on page 9, and we have, we're going to strike something on page 13. Senator Kielash.
Yeah, just one question. I thought some of this funding was to get the startup costs going, so before you start collecting any money, you have costs and staff time to put together and review these applications, et cetera. I don't know how much work that is, or if that's you're able to pick that up afterward and add it to the budget after the fact.
I'm not sure if I can, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I can speak exactly to budgetary matters, but I believe that's something that the department could do in anticipation of revenue coming in. So.
Okay, thank you.
There you go.
So, Senator Howe is going to offer this three-piece amendment. I'm going to ask Ms. Fontaine to one more time, just so it's clear, because we don't have it, we don't have language in front of us. We've scribbled in the margins, but just so the membership is totally clear as to what's being offered. And then, if Senator Howe or Mr. Cassidy or Mr. Nelson want to comment, but I assume we're heading in a good direction for the three of you. So, Ms. Fontaine.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, on lines 5.2 and 9.8, we're going to strike credited to the general fund and insert appropriated to the commissioner of the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the purposes of this act. So that's the two spots, and then we're going to strike section 3, the appropriation section.
Members, thank you for walking through that. Senator Howe?
Mr. Chair, I'd move that amendment.
Great.
Thank you.
All in favor of the Howe oral amendment to the amendment, Senator Daley?
Mr. Chair, can we have just a brief discussion on the costs, what those are? How does this change? I mean, because the money was going to go into the general fund. Now, how much money is going to go to deed?
Thank you, Senator Daley. Ms. Fontaine, maybe without speaking in particulars to numbers, and we can ask Mr. Jensen to do that, but can you help us and help Senator Daley understand now we're clearly dedicating the fees that are in this bill straight to deed, which should pay for and replace that direct appropriation language that we had at the back of the bill. Ms. Fontaine, how else should I explain that?
Well, Mr. Chair, members, it does give any money that is collected for the application fee and the recertification to deed and designates it for this purpose. So I'm not certain if, you know, what would happen to any fees that were collected that were above and beyond the program costs, what would happen to those. Perhaps Mr. Jensen would be able to help us out.
I've got Senator Howe first.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cassidy can speak to this.
Okay, Mr. Cassidy, I hope we're not doing violence to this bill, but we're trying to be helpful here.
Mr. Chairman, we're going in the right direction. Just to answer your question, I think you're asking how much would this potentially raise, what would the cost be to the department. We would anticipate that between a minimum of 5 and a maximum of 10 investment managers would be certified by the department. So we would collect our maximum of, what, $75,000 or half of that, and depending on how many we certify. So that would probably answer. I don't know if certifying 5 or 10 takes more work than 5, but the department can answer that. But I think that's the ballpark that we're talking about. We're not certifying 25 or 50 companies.
Members, we have an amendment in front of us. Senator Howe is offered. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Amendment is adopted. With the language and the understanding that we have, and I thank Senator Metzen and Senator DeCrae for picking that out and pushing it through. Senator Howe, I think you now have a motion to take this directly to taxes, where it will become at least initially a part of a larger discussion. You serve on the taxes committee and can help capture some of the conversation that we've had here today. So,
Mr. Chair and Senators, I would move that we pass this through Senate File 283 to taxes, and I appreciate the bipartisan support this bill has had in the past and hopefully in the future.
Senator Howe moves that Senate File 283 as amended be passed and referred to the Tax Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Measure is adopted, passed, moved to taxes. Thank you, Senator Howe, Mr. Cassidy, and Mr. Nelson. Thank you for stepping up. Members, I will note, boy, you missed about 30 pages of this chief economist on housing. You have it, but we won't get his presentation today. As I mentioned at the outset, he's stuck in the Chicago airport. But having no further business this morning, he's adjourned.
Are we going to get this tomorrow or something?
I don't think he's going to make it.